yesterday we had a potluck and then big group been in here. Big group was kind of little, but anyway. We talked a great deal about the, what happens in a normal church service in the Bible.
Almost lost your place this first time in a couple weeks.
The idea of a preacher and an order of service and all that was kind of put into question. And the whole mystery of Seders and equipping the saints is all tied up in each member giving, not just a dialogue or a monologue by somebody talking. We're going to study some scriptures that reveal that this morning, and then see if we can begin to understand it. The only thing we didn't talk about last night was we're fairly certain, or I'm fairly certain, that they met three times in the week. They met on, whatever days they met. One of them being the Sabbath, Saturday. And they had readings, and they read the three-year cycle from the law, the writings, and the prophets. And then the rest of the time was spent maybe discussing what was said, or just everybody giving whatever was there. There was no agenda except the reading of the assigned scriptures. And then there was just a free flow, whatever. But there was no sermon. Joe Santa last night talked about there was a Sermon on the Mount and there was Peter's sermon, but neither one of those were sermons as we understand it. Jesus was just talking. Peter was just talking in response to what had happened at Pentecost. And so the idea of preparing for what you're going to say is odious to the Spirit. It quenches the Spirit, and it creates people being observers instead of participants. And so what I hope we'll do now from now on is that in the Bible studies and in the big group, it's more and more encouragement for each person to contribute. And we're going to look at that right in a minute and see how that was handled in the first century. So that's in general terms what we talked about yesterday. Does anybody have any response to that?
They met three times a week.
They continued the Jewish...
There was nobody that met daily like we did, or what?
Huh?
Daily, we meet daily in here.
Well, many people met daily. I mean, a lot of disciples. But I'm talking about what was the church groups. That's what they did when they went back to where they were going. They met daily while they were in Jerusalem because they were trying to figure out what the hell happened after Pentecost. Yes.
I like it.
So the supposed sermon is like an op-ed. You know, you just kind of put your feelings or your sentiment on a piece of paper and you throw it on the table and then you talk about it.
Or you may not even put it on a piece of paper. It's something, the idea is being open to the Holy Spirit guiding instead of an agenda guiding.
But it's reminiscent of an op-ed piece, kind of, in a way.
It's every now and then you need a Melito of Sardi.
Right.
That was a Passover. That was a sermon.
That's not the norm.
Sermons are like antiseptic. There's no blood, no guts, no slobber. You know.
We're talking about church sermons, right?
Yeah. Well, sermon in general, that's kind of what a sermon is. Clean. It's good words. Touches people. Doesn't touch whatever happens.
But it doesn't. It doesn't really touch the Spirit. Mostly.
Yeah. It's usually controlled.
Well, this would solve the thing that I've been so upset about for years, and that's that a monologue instead of a dialogue.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, let's just look and see if we can understand certain things.
You don't want to have your speech seasoned with eternity, whatever that means, or you don't want to hear somebody's philosophy. That pretty well shuts things down.
Well, we'll see. Let's go first to, let's go to, there's a bunch of places we can go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
You know, even that comment from Sue has just tons of.
Huh?
That comment by Sue has so much importance in a sense that knowing when you're philosophizing versus when you're prophesying and what the difference is and how to recognize it. What's
well,
the value
see, that's
of
part, okay, yeah, that's the biggest part of the problem is we try to put definitions on what people are saying and we don't listen to them.
Well, let's not do that anymore.
Okay.
Let's start in verse, chapter 12, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual, it doesn't say gifts, as you notice in here. It's just concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. We could spend an eternity talking about those two. Because that's what guides us, is not saying Jesus is cursed, and knowing what saying Jesus is Lord meant. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there is a division of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every member, to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now that's the whole point, that we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is guiding every man as that Spirit gives utterance. And it could be any of those things. This is talking about not some philosophy to guide. It's talking about what to every one of us is given something by the self-same Spirit. And it's talking about the order of, this mystery of meeting. Or what the church is. And then it goes on to, let's read it where it defines it. And this is talking about in this church, in church. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are in one body, so also is Christ. For by this one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether there be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the whole, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were a body, where were the eye? Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And if now God has set the members, every one of us in the body, as if it pleased him. Now, that's the predicate. I mean, there's many, much more in Corinthians 13 and Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians. There's much more in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 6 and Hebrews 10. All these talk about this issue that we're dealing with. And so this issue is, hopefully, by getting rid of defining what it should look like and letting this mystery of the Holy Spirit work within us and through us, then I pray we'll have some, what it says, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, anybody want to talk about it? Anybody have anything to say?
Well, I just saw something here that I had never seen or thought about before. It was the song we sing about idolatry on Passover, you know? And that the, you know, the idolatry causes the mention of the hearing and the smelling and all that kind of stuff. It's like the body itself is affected by the idolatry and its inability to do its functions.
Amen.
You know, because of the, you know, like, what's the Psalm 116, I guess?
Psalm 116.
Yeah, so it's like, I just have never related it to the body as a, thing like that. So. That's pretty wild.
Now, you know that Jesus was with the disciples.
He has a soul, right?
I didn't hear that.
Pete's ever making fun of himself.
Scripture.
I'm joking.
Sorry to interrupt.
It may not be top 40.
I was thinking about when you were reading about equipping the saints. I think we have an agenda, maybe in our own mind, of what it means when you're equipped. And everybody can't meet that agenda. I'm not equipped. I'm not ready. I can't speak. Blah, blah, blah. So you've got all these inhibitors because you don't believe that the Spirit is able to work in and through you and the body.
Man, that's a good possibility that we do have those kind of ideas of what it means to speak.
Yeah.
And you know, so we can it instead of saying.
Rather than being made a fool of.
Yeah.
Well, back to the three-year cycle a minute. That's why Jesus was with the disciples for 3 years. He showed them that he was a fulfillment. And that was him equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, of course, they met every day because he was with them all the time. That's all he did. But as the church continued, they continued with the model of this mystery of the Seder. They redefined the Seder, which Jesus did at his Passover. Because there, you know, it redefined the family. Now, the Jews had to have at least 10 men of rest and no more than 20 men of rest. In the body of Christ, there's neither male or female. So that takes care of that. And the body of Christ assumes that you're at rest if you're coming to the Seder. That's the whole mystery. So the 10 men at rest assume that we're at rest when we come in. If they're not, then it's dealt with before the meeting. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in the meeting itself, obviously, sometimes there were no scriptures read. It just became what we've had here a few mornings while you were gone.
Yeah.
It was great.
We had a couple hour-long Bible studies.
You'll have to leave more often.
I know.
You'll have to attend more often.
There you go.
But the whole thing, it's like it was just as natural as breathing that those things, it was worked out. And there was universal agreement that it had to be that way. I mean, nobody complained. Well, that's not true.
Even if they do.
John complained that I wasn't nice to him, but other than that, I'm kidding. Now he's looking daggers at me again. Now this is going to take, I want us to read each of, maybe I'll just send them to you, I don't know. But I want to read these scriptures that testify of this order. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14.
Where's the scripture that says equip the saints or whatever you were just
Ephesians
talking?
Chapter 4.
It's in Ephesians 4.
Let's go there. I think it's 4, but it may be not. It's in that neighborhood. Yeah. Chapter 4. This is one of them we're going to read anyway. Well, we could read the whole thing, but the word that, in verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then it goes on. The rest of that is about the same thing.
Yeah, it's in 11. It starts on 11.
Yeah, it starts in 11.
Prophets and apostles and evangelists and all that.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. But as you know, some isn't in there. That defines the beginning of a Seder, in my opinion. But. What?
It's interesting that perfecting of the saints implies that there's a whole lot of stuff we got to do before we get perfected. But the fact is, perfection is openness, abandonment, repentance, honesty of what's really going on in you. And that's perfection.
Well, but the scriptures assume that you wouldn't be here unless you're a believer. So that believing, there's something to do with having to be able to believe in what we're about. I mean, that's sort of like a given.
I don't know what you meant by what you said.
Well, I mean, they didn't have. It wasn't like Mars Hill. Mars Hill, they invited speakers to come. And then they could talk about anything, Mensa or what? Who knows?
Imagining
manifesting. Yeah, but what happened at Mars Hill was that's because it was open to the whole. But in the body of Christ, it assumes that you're a member of the body of Christ if you're there, or you at least want to be. So. Anyhow, anybody else?
Well, was that what you were looking for?
Yeah. It's interesting. Perfecting of the saints. You wouldn't think a saint would need perfecting.
Maybe they just need to know that you're perfected.
Well, that's again, we're transfigured by the renewing of our minds. And that renewing of the mind comes so that there's an agreement about it. And the perfection can't happen without bubbling forth. What, Garrett?
It's so interesting because it's like even in here, the perfection is when your icons or idols have been dealt with to the point where you're not afraid to speak whatever stupid thing you have to say. So then it can be judged by the others and responded to. And that's difficult in any environment. Place because people are totally protecting all the time and want to cover themselves, not be made a fool of or chastised.
In fact, the word here doesn't even mean perfecting. It's equipping and furnishing.
Say. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's a different word from
is
perfecting is teleos. It just means fully tested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not the word. Mm-hmm. It's a different word, which means equipping.
Yeah.
Which is what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That makes more sense to me. Okay.
my Bible says it means maturing too. So then what, no more children tossed about by every wind and wave of doctrine and sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. That's this man. So, well, let's continue. Start in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's not either man, that's your mind. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That describes exactly what we're talking about. This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their own mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. So it assumes this perfecting or equipping is all these things.
It's a great passage.
Hmm?
It's a great passage through that whole thing.
But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It goes on and on. That's one of the ones that we are going to study over the next few weeks, or look at. But it's this, what my passion right now is this everyone's contribution. This isn't a philosophy course. It isn't. It's equipping you for the work of the ministry, that you may grow up into him on full measure, this mystery of Christ. Okay? The other scriptures, which we'll study later, are Ephesians 2, Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. But they all talk, you know, when we read them, it sounds like, well, they're just talking in general terms. But when you see it this from this perspective, you see they're talking about what's going on in this. Each man has something to say. Each person has a bubbling forth. And it will be judged whether what you're bubbling forth is has any merit or not by the others. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about having some measure of order. So it's not just a kundalini session or something.
Kundalini.
If you know what kundalini is.
Never heard that one. Talk to me later. You what?
Jerry said talk to me later. But
Gary knows a lot about kundalini sessions. It's going wild in India.
Guys, that's the opposite of Kumbaya. Sort of. Yeah.
That wasn't.
own dynamic,
its own power.
It's its own power if you're out of the way. There's nothing you have to do, the six, again, except repent.
Yeah, and then God is able to live. He's not deaf or dumb or blind like he was saying earlier.
But this mystery of his, and we can never forget the mystery of his humility. He doesn't overpower us. Anyway, anybody else? Pete?
No, I say amen and let it be. Well, we had this minor discussion about this in Wednesday night Bible study. My response was, I've been in, 10,000 hours of Bible study. I may not have something to say on a particular night about a particular verse that I've read 200 times. But on the other hand, I hear you. It's time for some kind of a spark to happen, some kind of, something does seem a little bit amiss the way you've been doing it.
I remember this, and we used to talk about this all the time too. The word Yeshua is Jesus in Hebrew. And part of the word Yesh is another Hebrew word. And the word can only be described, it's the action of what happens when a dam breaks. And then the action of the water rushing out after the dam breaks is yesh. And the problem is, all of us had, we got a bunch of dead elephants and that are still in this. The water isn't out of your belly, you're full of rivers of living water, because you got to get all the dead beasts out of there that have been drowned, and that's there's going to be stupidity.
Yeah.
There's going to be, and you can't be afraid to say, "Well, wait a minute, that can't be good." You got to say whatever you feel, because, and again, I'm sorry, but the only way that this can be manifested with any integrity, it has to conform to Scripture. What comes out of you. That's what it means. And it has to conform to a lot of things, like it's finished.
I think the end of it conforms to Scripture. Because
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. The beginning might not, but that's the whole point.
Yeah, no, it's, you got to get rid of all the stuff before you have rivers of living water.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to say something if it's against Scripture, because then it'll end up conforming well.
And you can't be afraid to say what's there, because somebody might make fun of you.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's always action. It's not thinking about. It's being instead of trying to be. It's not, you don't go around and try to figure out what you're going to say to that person. You just say it. You may get laughed at. It may be stupid. It may, so what? But it has to be, that's the only way there's going to be freedom in you. Oh no, you have to be nice to me when I say all my stupid things. No, I don't. Neither does anybody else. It's a place of what you, seeing whether or not what you think has any merit in being tested. All right?
Equally, what you spontaneously say may not be stupid at all.
It may not be. I pray that it isn't.
Often it isn't.
Well, and it brings forth other things, typically. Stupid things generate conversation.
Even California ideas.
Even California.
We used to make fun of Gary. Remember that? He's coming from La La Land when he was speaking.
After I've been there recently, I see why.
I mentioned La La Land in the song about you going to California.
You did. I'm glad I
tied it all together.
Let's hear that.
I'm glad song. I missed it.
Oh, that was a great
song. Each one of us has a song.
That was
a
spiritual song. That was a great cover of that song.
It really wasn't a spiritual song.
I don't know. We were all moved.
moved by it.
All right. Well, that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to write down all scriptures that I've been studying about this and send them to him, Gary.
Great.
Anybody else?
You're right at your appointed time.
Take it, big guy. We started early. I'm 1 minute overtime.
Gary.